Hey, it's Larry Herbeck's Boxes, Major Nelson over there with Jeff. Jeff, how are you?
My box, it's bigger.
Well, it's...
And yet it feels lonely.
Well, let's be clear. Normally, we're like this, but as you yes. can see, we don't have a third here because Rebecca is not with us today. So Jeff and I, we had a couple folks who were trying to get in here, but schedules were just kind of crazy. So
she's on a well-deserved vacation as well.
Well, remember, she talked about it last year, the Lunar New Year.
Yeah.
So
yes. But the good news is,
yeah,
we make up for that next week.
We do. Hey, I was going to save that for the end of the show, but I guess I'll bring
this it. This is right why I don't run the show.
I'll bring
I
it right to the top the of the show.
I spoil we're, all the episodes.
We're doing Sorry. On Tuesday, which is what's the day? What's the day of the week on Tuesday? It's Tuesday
that is
the
8th.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tuesday, February 8th or 8 February for those of you not in the United States. We are going to do the show live. We're going to do the show live for the first. This is actually epic. For the first time ever, Rebecca, Larry, and Jeff will be in the same place at the same time. We've never done this show. Jeff and I have done it, you know, in the same place at the same time. And I've been with Rebecca without Jeff, but we've never all been at the same time, at the same place, in the same. So we're going to do that next
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, we'll be streaming on my channel on Twitch and also probably on YouTube. We'll also be on the Xbox channel because we're going to be leading into who's streaming that day, Jeff?
Yeah, that will be... Oh, has that been revealed yet? I don't want to take it away, but we have a great streamer who's going to be joining for our Black History Month creator takeover. Yep. That'll be the second week. We've had some great folks on this week as well. And I don't want to ruin the announcement if he hasn't announced yet,
okay.
but it yeah, is let him announce it. Somebody that should be familiar and someone you might be surprised to see on an Xbox channel.
Well,
so I'll leave it at that.
You've piqued my interest. But anyway, we'll do that on Tuesday. And don't worry about if you're watching this on YouTube or Spotify or any of the other places, then I'll just take this and I'll upload it like I normally do. So don't worry about it if you're like, oh, I missed it or how am I gonna see it? Don't worry about it. We got you covered.
There may just be some more visual gags. We may play something live.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
We're gonna have fun. But I'm looking forward to having you and Rebecca in the same place at the same time. So that's actually, like I say,
we've more or less gotten used to doing the show this way, but yep. there's so much in terms of like a conversation when you're in person, you can see in their eyes, you can see with their body language that they want to say something or they disagree. And your timing is just so tight. And because our voices need to go like all the way out to New York and then come all the way back.
And then all the way back again sometimes.
Yeah. Like, there's always a thing where, all right, I'm going to count to like three before I talk because I don't want to talk over Rebecca. I wait till three, I start talking, and inevitably we talk at the same time. It happens every time.
It's kind of like old school when I used to do broadcast interviews on news and they would use satellite. And it was the same thing. It was a satellite. It would have to go all the, 22,500 miles up, bounce off, come down. It was difficult. But we're not going to have that problem next week, are we?
No, because, we're not going to be constrained by, stupid physics and the speed of light, which is, by the way, not getting any faster, not helpful. Like, where's the evolution here? Where's the work? Put in the work. Don't be a constant.
We need warp drive.
Well, that'd be good. Quantum. Imagine if we had quantum podcasting. Probably the least valuable use of quantum computing would be applying it to the podcast, I want to do it. I want to be the world's first quantum-powered podcast.
I need to tell this story because I'm sure you know this, Jeff, but for the listeners, they don't. We actually have a whole team of people at Microsoft that work in quantum computing. I have no idea what they do. I have no idea. I consider myself a nerd, and I know, Jeff, you've got nerd tendencies, but this is like on a completely different level. Like, I don't even want to walk into that classroom.
I tried learning a little bit about it and how it works. And it's like, if a particle moves, then it's got another particle somewhere else in the galaxy and it will move at the same. I'm like, how, what? Like, it doesn't, this is beyond me, which is
thank
why
you for,
we majored thank, in like English.
Thank you for tuning into the, this is the science podcast. You didn't know what you got yourselves into. Hey, you know what I found out today? Yeah. We are the only video game news and information video show on Spotify. You know, I've been talking for a few weeks about how we're on Spotify with video. We are the only video game news and information. I think there's one other review show, but they don't do news and information.
And we only do information, not misinformation. That's not what we do.
Well, no.
We tell you it, it's true. Unless it's about quantum computing, in which case we will lead with, we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
But anyway,
get an expert on.
Good to see you, Jeff. It's should we talk about what we're playing? We've got a nice interview this week about Dying Light 2. I've got some props here to show off.
Have you started playing that yet? That's definitely next on my list. I think I have it downloaded, but I have obviously.
I did. It's out now for those of you that don't know, you know, it's out this week. I started playing it because we are recording this just after it released. So I haven't had a chance to get like 3 or 5 or 6 hours. And I think I'm maybe 45 minutes in, to be honest with you. And I wanted to at least play it because I'm doing the interview later on. So we'll kick that off in just a minute. But yeah, I'm playing that. And of course, you and I are playing our nightly Halo.
Nightly Halos. Yeah.
Jeff says, it's Halo, BRT, you know, you text me and I'll be right there. So we go in and we play a little.
Yeah, I kind of have that thing where it's like, I see who's on. If no one's on playing, then I'll play something else. But we definitely have a nice little routine here that we haven't had for a long time.
Yeah.
I feel like probably not since we were, you know, when Apex first came out. And we were actually that Apex, I wouldn't say phase, but we were every day playing. Actually, the new Apex stuff that is coming out next week looks really cool.
Well, that was a funny story. Is you and I were playing Halo, and your daughter was in the same room last night playing Apex. So it was you guys, I don't know how you're doing that. By the way,
I was fine with it. You all were kind of like, you know, playing off of the things she was saying. Every time I opened my mouth, and I was talking lower than normal. I was like,
you were
top mid. He's got rocks, you know, and every time, no matter how low, she would just glare at me. Like I'm
really
very much embarrassing her by being alive in the same room as her. So we've got a great relationship. It's fine. No, I mean, normally we do, but you can tell when there's friends involved, she can't mute fast enough.
Right.
Because God knows what I'll do. So
I had to tell you, I'm a little disappointed. I have not heard you bust out the too many dad jokes.
Here in the house, there's a lot of puns, like the groanier it is, like the more my wife and my daughter will think it's funny. They will say it's stupid, but then they're falling on the ground laughing. So they're more situational things.
I see.
And they'll just come up with the dumbest thing. But, now our dad joke expert, like the person who's got who could write a book of dad jokes is Rebecca, and she's not here today.
Which is so funny because she's not a dad. But she has the dad.
She has a dad. She's got a great relationship with her dad. Yeah, if I have a relationship as good with my daughter as Rebecca does with her dad, when my daughter is the same age, then I'll have done something right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm too busy embarrassing her on stream.
I'm getting a little bit of that now with my 4-year-old. She's like, Dad, you know, I'm getting a little bit. You've seen a little bit of that when we come over.
Yes. Just wait.
Exactly.
Just wait.
Hey, speaking of...
All right, what were you playing? What else are you playing? I mean, it's been...
I'm playing Dying Light. I'm playing...
In the mic, Larry.
Sorry. No, I was turning around looking at it because I was getting my gloves ready. Playing Rainbow Six Extraction. We played that a little bit. We talked about that last week. In fact, next week, hopefully after a little bit, either during or towards the end of the stream, we're going to play Rainbow Six Extraction for folks that tune in on the Tuesday live show.
Wow, we're just going to really stink it up live.
You know what? Why not?
We're not scared to fail.
But I'm playing. I haven't had a lot of chance to play too much. I've been really busy with some work stuff and some other projects. Working on a real nerdy. I told you the nerdy project I'm working on for my car.
You
right?
Had a Raspberry Pi involved, and that's when I just tuned out.
Right. Come on, you could do some fun.
It was clever. All right, you want to tell people what you're working on?
Why don't we do that at the end of the show? I mean, should I?
At the end of the show? The tech section, is E going to be back on the show?
He could be. He's dying to get back on. No, I have a Tesla, and there's this there's a GitHub with Tesla USB, which basically takes all the footage and copies it to the Raspberry Pi, and then when you pull into your garage, it copies it over to my server. So that's it.
Very clever. Very clever. Speaking of E.
Yeah.
I picked up the new Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Is that what you're playing?
Turns out it's great. I am playing that. I'm playing a lot of stuff. I knowing that I was going to get into Dying Light 2, and I actually finished after 6 months. I finished Octopath Traveler. Phenomenal game. If you love an old school RPG, it's on Game Pass. Get it. I can't recommend it highly enough. It is just like the way you remember, you know, classic Final Fantasies being like Super Nintendo era. Just it's very good. And I miss it. When you know a game is great when you're done, you spend a lot of time with it, and then you go to sit down, you know, to play something, and then you're like, oh, wait, that came off of, like, there's like almost a sense of loss.
Yeah.
You know, I could go and I could grind, you know, the rest of the achievements, but.
That happened to me with Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. No, totally get it. And Yeah, because we both played that for over a year before we beat it.
We just kept going and grinding and having fun. It was you know what? It never felt like grinding.
No, and you know what? It was one of those things. I was almost saving it a little bit. You know, yeah. I mostly played it when I was on the go, and then when I finally beat it, there was that sense of
loss.
That's
right, because we were traveling a lot.
So you mentioned Breath of the Wild, and I've seen this new Pokemon game. Sort of like compared to Breath of the Wild, it is largely open world, a lot more than if you played Sword and Shield, which was also really good. This game is like instantly capturing me. Is that the one, not like the same thing?
Is that the one that got taken down, or was it Pikachu FPS? Did you see that?
Yes, that's because that's not a licensed game.
I know, but surprising that happened.
Yes, I did read about a game where you can shoot Pokemon, and I don't approve. Although I did watch the video. I would say if you grew up playing Pokemon games, I've been playing since Red and Blue, and they're all like the mainline ones. They're all kind of the same. You would be like a child leaving town, and you'd wake up in your bedroom, and you'd have like a Nintendo on the in your room. And then you would just leave and you would try to hunt and the professor would help you out. This is a completely different type of game.
Right.
And I think it's really cool, like what they've done with it. Like you're back in time and people are afraid of Pokemon and you're sort of like figuring it out. And it's almost like a stealth action game at times, but you're still doing battling. I think they found, read the reviews. Don't take it from me. But if any of that stuff sounds interesting to you, if you liked the classic RPG styles and you want to play more of that, by all means, I think this is something that you might be into.
All right. I'll check it out. I mean, I don't really play Pokemon that much, but I'll take a look at it to support.
I don't know if it's for you per se, but I think, it's for me. Okay. I guess I'll put it that way.
That's all that matters. We've got
something that might be for you that I tried out. Again, knowing that Dying Light was coming out, I didn't want to start another big 80-hour game except for Pokemon because Pokemon. I had FOMO, but I ended up trying a lot of smaller games over the weekend that were worth talking about. So one, a game that came to Game Pass, the Taiko drum game, Taiko no Tatsujin. We talked about the drum master. We talked about it a little bit.
How do you do the drumming? Like,
all right. So there's basically like, A, or you can program it however you want, but like A is like the main drum.
Oh, and so it's just all button based.
B will be like the other one. It's basically like playing Rock Band, but you're using a controller. I do need to look into it. I think if there was a drum controller, that'd be something else. But it's just so different.
Wait a minute.
It makes a lot of pleasant noises. I had fun playing it for a half hour. Wait a minute,
Jeff. Could you turn this into a drum controller?
I think you could. absolutely could.
The adaptive controller. It looks like a drum pad, right?
Can I borrow that one? Because I'm going to try that out. That could complete... Larry, you're a genius. You're a genius.
Trying to help.
That could be really interesting. Now I'm going to try it out.
I'm going to try, because that's wireless. So I'm going to check that out.
Okay. Well, there you go. It's the Drum Master is in Game Pass. And so you could try it out. The other one was a game I had mentioned briefly last week, a tactical game made in Brazil. And I wanted to try it out because, one, I love tactics games. And two, I don't know if I had ever played a game made in Brazil before. So let's see what it is.
But go ahead.
I could name it off the top of my. There's a huge gaming community in Brazil. I speak to our teammates in Sao Paulo pretty frequently, actually. But I didn't know if I. Anyway, so Reverie Knights Tactics is the game, and if you like tactics games, it's pretty. It's almost like Vandal Hearts esque. Maybe not as much. It's a pretty detailed tactics game with like some interesting like find and hunt. It's also super challenging. I played it a little bit recklessly. And
have you been to Brazil?
It was made to pay for it. So I have a visa for Brazil.
Yes, I do too.
I've never used.
You and I have visas for Brazil
for the same reason,
right?
Because we were supposed to go to Brazil Game Show
many years
2014, 2015. Yeah, I can't remember. And the visa came in too late, and so we couldn't get on the plane.
Came the day after we were supposed to leave, right?
The day after we were supposed to go, and I'm still upset about it.
Yeah.
So
we need to get down there somehow, somewhere. Yeah. You know what they love down there in Brazil?
I don't know what you're going to say here, Larry.
X-Cloud. But
trick carefully.
X-Cloud.
Okay, there you go.
They love X-Cloud. I mean, everybody loves X-Cloud, but wow, I just saw some Brazilian numbers, and they were like, whoa, big. So
that's awesome.
good stuff there. Anyway, so
what do you want to interviews? You want to do the news? Tell me what's on your mind.
You know what? Why don't we just go ahead and do the news, and then we'll end it with the interviews. You know what? We're going to mix it up this week. We're going to do something completely different. We're going to keep the show going. We'll do some news. But before we do that, I have some, you know.
Oh, yes, please. And full screen, Larry, please.
This is not necessarily news per se, Jeff, but let me get myself full screen here. Stand by. But I got...
Oh, you've got the OPI.
I've got all of the nail lacquers, which here's the, these are available. We did a partnership with OPI. This one is for Forza.
Yes.
So this is, and you can't, the one over here is Racing for Pinks. And this one over here is Trading Paint. So each one of these comes with some, like, for instance, you can get a code that'll get in Forza, will give you a skin in Forza. And then this is the one for Halo.
It matches those colors, which is what's really cool.
So this one is actually kind of cool as well. So achievement unlocked, Can't Control Me, Trading Paint, Pixel Dust. So there's a whole bunch here, and they have a code inside. So we're doing this great partnership with OPI. I mean, this is kind of, there's some people, I mean, men, women, they like their nail colors. Like, I've never seen you with a Trading Paint color on, Jeff.
I have a daughter, and yours is, as she gets older and you let her paint her nails, she will ask to paint your nails. And I let her. What I found, and I don't know why, I felt like maybe it was mental, but I was like, my hands feel warm after having my, but
well, I these are better have, colors than we had. I do have an embarrassing story actually to tell. I'm actually looking for, because there's actually something really cool about this that I want to tell you about.
Larry, your inbox is on the show. You might want to move.
I know. No. I was actually that's what I'm looking for right now. There's some interesting details about the they're going to do a stream next week. This OPI group is going to do a stream. And then I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of that. On Thursday, February 15th at 3 p.m. Pacific, that's 6 o'clock Eastern, they're going to have a few appearances by some of OPI's nail artists to discuss how they came up with the nail designs for the campaign. They're going to give away a few of the custom controllers. And, somebody that we know is going to be hosting and playing. That would be Malik.
Yes. Yeah, Malik on my team. And he's going to get his nails. He's going to get his nails painted for us. Hold that box back up, because then you could see there is a Halo. Oh, I thought it was, maybe it's not on there, but one of them does have a code. That one is for Forza. And I think that one includes a code for a multiplayer skin, like a special color that's only available. I think it is the You Had Me at Halo, or it's the Achievement Unlocked, one of those two colors, but it looks like a really cool skin and I want it.
Yeah, they're going to do this. So this stream will be next February 15th. So right after Valentine's Day, which is coming up. Did you order your chocolate and your flowers, Jeffrey, for your...
No, here's the thing about Valentine's Day is never are cliche things like chocolates and
flowers
more expensive, and never are they effectively worth less. Like, if I give my wife flowers on Valentine's Day, she's going to be like, oh, well, it's Valentine's Day. So that, you know what the best time to give flowers?
The day after.
No, because then they're clearly a day old. You know, July 19th. That's a great day for me to send flowers to my wife. Just it's like, what are these for?
Exactly.
Just because I love you. Just
because I love you.
Just because I love you.
But anyway, so yeah, tune into that stream at twitch.tv/Xbox for all the OPI stuff. And I know. Apparently we are now, you know, maybe we're going to be fashion influencers, Jeff, right?
Let's do it.
I don't know if that's really our jam, but we can certainly, I just really wanted to call these out, cause it's so great to see, Xbox doing, we have a great brand team that does all sorts of stuff and collabs, as they like to say.
They do.
So I'm looking forward to seeing what else they got planned, but anyway, OPI stream coming up.
Yeah. If you're looking where to get them, by the way.
Yeah.
I think Ulta is where you can get them. It's a nationwide chain. So I think we have one in my neighborhood. So it feels like they're...
Yeah, they're actually in the U.S. They're exclusively at Ulta Beauty. And that'll be until like March 31st. And then we also can get them on Amazon. Everywhere else around the world, you can get them on opi.com/Xbox details for your regional market. So, all right, we're done with that part.
Cool.
What else you got for news?
Yeah, so we're into February, and as I'm sure you know, February is Black History Month.
Yes,
and
it is.
We celebrate at Xbox in a number of different ways, and we have a blog post up on Xbox Wire. But the parts that there's two things I wanted to call out. One is, we talk about this actually pretty frequently on the show, is Microsoft Rewards. So we have three rewards are something that you will rack up as you're playing like a Game Pass game, for instance.
Just playing games, doing what you're doing anyway.
Every time you launch, like every single time I launched Octopath Traveler, it would pop up. You just hold down the Xbox button, you cash in those points, and then now I've got thousands. And so then what you do is you can go into the hub, and you can for Microsoft Rewards, and then you can use them for all number of things. I recommend for those who can spare it to donate to the relevant charities that we have up there. We cycle them out pretty frequently. And so we have three different organizations supporting Black communities with Xbox this Black History Month. Community, Black Girls Rock, and Game Heads. And so very good, highly vetted organizations that we think do great work. And I'll be donating to all three of them definitely this month, and encourage you to play games, rack up some points, and do the same thing.
All right.
The other thing I want to call out, and we mentioned it actually briefly, is that we're doing once again our creator takeovers. And so
yes,
we are sort of handing the stage over to a number of creators from the Black community over the course of the next few weeks to come on stream. We had a friend of mine, King Phoenix, on. He was yesterday, so we're taping this earlier in the week. And he had just a great stream playing Halo Infinite. He's really a very funny guy. And, you know, the hope is that we're helping creators introduce them to the Xbox channel audience, and hopefully they find more people to follow and more people to support, more streamers to support.
But I want to point out that it's not just, you know, you don't go after, we do a lot, your team does a lot of work with the larger streamers, but you kind of find the up and coming ones and kind of tap them on the shoulder and say, here you go. You're a kingmaker.
I wouldn't go that far, but what I would say is, we want to, I would say our philosophy with creators in general is, we could go to just like, you know, Dr. Lupo and Tim the Tap Man and Pokimane for everything. And they're great creators. And we love them, and we love what they do. But we see our role as really being able to ensure that opportunities, access, when we have events, you know, that we can bring creators in that are up and coming, they're on the way up, and give them those opportunities, give them access to, you know, games and to be able to create cool content. And that's, I would say, one of our missions, really, on our team. And so we'll be seeing some great folks this week, and more folks next week, including someone we'll be leading into. So we'll have to do a really good show next week so we can give him a warm Xbox welcome.
We don't set out to do a bad show.
No, we can just do it better. It'll be a live show,
and it'll be, and we'll all be together for the first time. And we've got a couple of surprises. I saw the email thread about that earlier, so I know we're working on some cool stuff, right? Yes.
Yep.
What else?
A lot
there?
More stuff. Okay, sure. Very excited to see this as we gear up for the baseball season. It's February, so spring training starts. Does it start February? I feel like it starts February, doesn't it? We're starting to talk baseball, and happy to confirm that MLB The Show 22 for the second year running will be coming to Xbox and will be part of Xbox Game Pass.
Second year in a row.
The amazing pitcher and hitter Shohei Ohtani is going to be on the cover. This guy like does it all, like in a way that like I don't feel like we've seen since.
Like Bonos?
You're like, what?
Like Bo Jackson?
But even Bo, well, he was two sports.
Right.
And by the way, if you were born like, you know, in the 90s, you don't even know who he is. And that's
fine.
He was incredibly famous, had a sneaker and everything. But like you have to go back to like the Babe Ruth days where you had people that would pitch and hit
equally well.
And right. You didn't see that. And like Ohtani plays every day. Like he had 46 home runs last year, 100 RBIs, but also was a 9-2 record as a pitcher. Like that just doesn't happen anymore. And
that's
so
crazy.
It's just kind of crazy. And so he's on the cover, looks awesome. And you'll be able to play. April 5th is when the game will be out on Xbox Game Pass.
And we'll have to get your friend on again.
Yes, Ramon Russell.
Ramon,
he wrote the blog post here. It was great to have him on last year. As I recall, we did that interview. I was on vacation in Hawaii, but Ramon's such great people I dialed in. Remember, I was sitting outside in the Airbnb. I'm like, my
palm feet are getting bit up by
whatever I was sitting on, but and it was so hot. I was like, please wrap this up before I'm like sweating down my forehead. But anyway.
We'll get Ramon on again. He's officially a friend of the show now. So we're going to get him back on, and it's great to see RBI come on. Speaking of RBI, it's unrelated yet related. What about that news with, we got some news this week with Sony and Bungie. That's some interesting stuff.
Yep.
That's all we can say, just because I wanted to say, because you know people down below in the comments are going to go, I can't believe they didn't talk about it. That's all we can say, because we don't know anything.
I don't know what to talk about. So, yeah, okay. I mean, congrats. I mean,
we have lots of friends over at Bungie and Sony, so good for them.
Yeah, and they have a blog post talking up about, on Bungie.net, I think, about, how they're thinking about things. And
yep.
But I've got nothing to add, obviously. There, what I do have to add is more games coming to Xbox Game Pass, in addition to MLB, which will be coming in April. Some things that are out now.
Lubricate that segue a little better, but it worked.
Look, you drove a car right through my Game Pass segment.
I did. I'm sorry, but it was relevant because RBI. Okay, go ahead.
MLB.
MLB.
Anyway, so out now. Some games that are hitting this week and also next week. So the ones this week, they're already there. So Contrast. If you recall. That was the game before We Happy Few.
Oh, that's right.
From Compulsion.
Compulsion, which is one of our studios.
And they're now part of Xbox Game Studios. And Contrast was their first game. It's available now if you've never played it. It's an ID at Xbox game available on Xbox Game Pass for cloud and console. Dreamscaper, Telling Lies, which I think you had played Telling Lies. It's like real... like FMV, they used to call it. Like it's actual
full motion video.
Actual video, yes. Yep. And also stars. I think her name.
I remember her now. I remember you were telling me who was in it. Yeah, now
she was in Westworld.
Right, Westworld.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can see that picture. Yeah, exactly. This was from the creator of Her Story, which was critically acclaimed a few years back.
Crossfire X.
So looking into next week, Crossfire X will be available day one on Game Pass. So there's the single player campaign as part of this. The multiplayer is, I believe, free to play. Also, Edge of Eternity, which is a cool looking RPG.
Those Edge of Eternity and Infernax and Skull look all you.
Definitely Edge of Eternity. Skull is a roguelite, an action. So I'm just going to probably not be good at it. So that's Skull, the Hero Slayer. And then there's The Last Kids on Earth. And then on February 14th, Valentine's Day, nothing says, let's play a game together, like Ark Ultimate Survival Edition. So this is the definitive
when was
collection.
The last time we played everything. That, like 2013 or 2014,
back when it was in game preview. It was one of the first game preview games, as I recall.
Yep.
And we've talked about it multiple times. We were like banging rocks together, and then like six months later, I'm watching someone fly on a pterodactyl with like dual wielding SMGs or something. Like it was just like
ridiculous.
We were not playing the same game. Nope. I think you froze to death, and then
it's because I didn't have pants.
We didn't know how to make pants.
We didn't know how to make trousers.
Infernax also available on February 14th. It's about the adventures of a great knight who returns to his homeland only to find it plagued by unholy magic. Yeah, this is something I would play. So you're right on with that.
Told you.
Couple of big sales this week.
Yes.
First one is a sale from THQ Nordic. Save up to 80% on titles, including Biomutant, Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning, Darksiders 3, SpongeBob, Wreckfest, Destroy All Humans. THQ Nordic has a lot of great games. And if you haven't played them, the sale is going on, and up to 80% off, depending on the game and the SKU, until February 7th, which is the day before we go live, until Monday. Until Monday. And then we also have Anime Month. So you can save up to 85% on select anime-inspired games. This is definitely in my wheelhouse.
Dragon Ball, Naruto, all of them.
Yes, Scarlet Nexus, which I really enjoyed. One of my favorite games last year. Tales of Arise, Code Vein, Chris Tales, and that goes until February 14th. And then there's going to be a second collection in the second half of the year, of the month, rather, that goes through the end. So if you're interested, buy now. But then keep an eye out for more games coming out later. There'll also be not just the anime-inspired games, but the animes themselves. So things like One Piece, My Hero Academia, Attack on Titan, the movies and TV part, that app on your computer or on your Xbox, those games are on sale as well. You can even get a gift card. If you spend $50 on any of this stuff, you get 5,000 Microsoft Rewards points, which you could use to donate to those charities, as mentioned earlier. You also get a $5 gift card. So that's like a 10% off the top.
What right about Game Pass there. Members? We can't leave them out of the fun.
That's right, Larry. What a segue. Game Pass is celebrating Anime Month with a collection of
17 I had to pick up for me screwing you off earlier.
Anime-inspired games you can discover, and you can earn up to 300 Microsoft Reward points when you play or achieve quests, Game Pass quests in games such as Nier Automata, Become as Gods Edition, One Piece Warriors 4, and AI, the Somnium Files.
Fantastic. So,
play to win.
Play to win.
Two last bits of news. Yeah, a couple of games that have... Wow. Wow, Larry. What? Just giving some release dates. We're sharing the news. Shadow Warrior 3. We have a date for that launching on March 1st. And then Chernobyl Light, which is a game that's coming to Series X and S on April 21st. Takes place. Apparently, they actually mapped the Chernobyl exclusive zone, I think it's called, where you can't go.
Exclusion zone. Basically.
Exclusion zone. Thank you. I knew there was a word for that. So they actually mapped that. Like, that's the map of the game. And then the game itself is like a survival horror RPG.
Well, this is the second Chernobyl conversation we had today. Remember the one where I brought it up earlier in the meeting? Were you there for that meeting?
I don't know if I was there for that.
No, we were talking about how I went into the office and it was like Pripyat, which is the big town right next to Chernobyl, which is when Chernobyl melted down back in the 80s, that that everybody had to evacuate immediately. And like there's half, you know, the glasses are half filled and toys.
That's where this takes place.
Yes.
So you're Igor, a physicist that worked at Chernobyl, returning 30 years later to Pripyat to investigate the mysterious disappearance of his fiance. So it seems really interesting. It's a $30 game, and that is coming out, like I said, in April 21st.
Thank you for that.
There's the news.
There you go. Do you have the chat window open over there? Just to make sure you have that open there so you can get us into the next segment. So,
oh yes.
Okay. So, we should probably wrap up the show here because we're going to just, like I said, we're going to get ready for the big live show next week with Rebecca. We'll all be in studio on Tuesday. And then, you know, if you want to join us live, we may have some giveaways too, Jeff.
I should hope that we do. So we're going to end the show with a nice interview with the game that everyone is talking about this week, Dying Light 2. We are pleased to welcome David Lubroika, the animation director from Dying Light 2, and Dying Light 2 is out now.
One of the first big releases of 2022 is here, and it's now Dying Light 2 Stay Human is out now and available on Xbox and a bunch of other platforms. Joining me today is the animation director, David Lubroika. David, thank you for joining us. How are you today?
Thanks. I'm great. How are you?
First of all, congratulations on launching the game. Always a great moment. I mean, this game, I remember seeing it a few years ago, and it was just so exciting to see the open world elements and the parkour. For those folks that, you know, let's refresh their memory a little bit that maybe aren't following along too closely about Dying Light 2 and, you know, what can we expect in the game?
Right. So the major thing that we want to show you is the vast open world that is really, really stretched out in verticality. So it's not only playing in, you know, huge horizontal stretches, but it's also it allows you to climb buildings, to jump between them, to use some tools like paraglider to jump from the building to another building, or use some parkour helpers, or just pure parkour skills that throughout the game will allow you to become better and better in traversing, in parkouring.
So let's just back up a little bit. This is an open world action role-playing survival horror game. I think that's the best way to say it. I mean, I don't want to, I'll let you define your game. But there's something you meant, you talked about the verticality. So would you say, is it fair to say it's a platformer for gamers that know that term, or is it more, it's more complicated than that, isn't it?
It's more complicated because in platformer, the goal of the game is to like progress on kind of, you know, on this platform manner. But for us, this is the world is the place that we want you to explore. So you can explore the city freely. You can go pretty much whatever you see, you can go there. So this is just the playground for you to have your fun, to like define your own story, your own gameplay.
So we've got a role-playing game, and I remember you guys talked a little bit a few weeks ago or a few months ago. There's quite a bit of gameplay in here, isn't there, in terms of the length of the game and so forth. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the story itself, it's like 20 plus hours, depending on how deep you want to go, plus some side stories. So the side quest will give you plenty more. And then there is the open world experience, which can give you like even 500 hours. But of course, it depends how far you explore. But the world is pretty big, and even for me, it's really easy to get lost in it.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of the video. We're just playing it. I had a chance to play it. We're recording this right as it goes out, so that's why I haven't had a chance to really play that much of it. But it's certainly an amazing open world that you've created with that verticality. As your role as the animation director, I assume you just go through all the elements of the player and the NPCs and so forth just to make it seem fluid. Tell us about your role and what that animation director, what your day-to-day looks like.
Right. So I am overseeing pretty much all the animation teams at Techland. We have a team that is responsible for narration side, and we have team responsible for the gameplay side, and some teams that are responsible for, more technical aspects. And I'm trying to bind them together in communication. I myself am more on the gameplay side. So I'm this kind of a player that likes to take a pad or a mouse and keyboard and play and have like pure fun of exploration. So my main area and my favorite area is parkour, actually.
When we looked at the game, we saw a little bit of it in the video that I was showing, and I'll go ahead and just play a little bit more here. We saw this interesting dynamic of the day night cycle. Tell us about the gameplay and the day night cycle here.
Right, so in Dying Light 1, there was also a game, the day and night cycle, but night was really terrifying. So some players came back and said, like, well, it's too terrifying, we want to wait until the day comes, and they tried to skip it. Some loved it, but overall, there was kind of this, imbalance between day and night. So in Dying Light 2, we wanted to fix that and make it more even. So we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to make it more even. So during the day, you have some activities that are easier and like better to do during the day. And during the night, for example, the dark zones, the dark places that the infected reside in, they are full during the day, but they become empty during the night. So that makes the player actually want to explore during the night, but the traversal through the city is much more difficult because all of the infected are actually on the streets. But if you actually get to the dark place, you can explore it much more freely, and the loot there is really rewarding. So that helps in this balance.
I noticed I was reading some notes on it, and this in the timeline, this takes place about 20 years after the original Dying Light, correct? And the original Dying Light, I mean, that was millions of people played that game. So I can imagine that you're going to have that much and more with this game. But one of the great elements about this is that I'm very excited about is co-op. Tell us about co-op and how that works.
Right. So it's similar to Dying Light 1, like you can get through the game in co-op. After you finish the first part of the game, the prologue, you do the first few missions, and then you can play in co-op with your friends, with others in online mode, and you can actually finish the game together. But we believe that it's better to finish the game first in single mode and then get back to it in co-op. Because if you play in co-op, you miss out on the story a little bit. So it's not as great experience in terms of the story, but it's great because you can create your own story because of the vast open world and exploration aspects.
I mean, that's one of the funs of playing a co-op game is you go in there with your friends and you just have this massive wide open sandbox. So that's actually an interesting tip is if you're for Dying Light fans, go through and spend some time and, you know, perhaps go through the single player or, you know, kind of have a single player experience first and then grab your buddies and come on in and then start wreaking havoc in the real world, or excuse me, in the game world. When you're playing the game, you know, what should folks look for, you know, just to kind of get them started? Some people are just maybe going to download it for the first time this weekend and get into it. So would you tell us a little bit about what they should focus on in terms of the skill tree and so forth?
Yeah, so like try to go balanced because the skill tree is divided in two branches. So one is for combat and one is for parkour. And of course, depending on your playstyle, if you prefer to avoid combat, then you can invest more in parkour. But you will get best of the game experience if you think of, you know, which skill may help you in which area. And of course, there is, you know, a description that helps you decide that. But I personally love dropkick. we have it kept for all the fans from Dying Light 1 who love dropkick. So I would go for that first if you have a chance. It's still there, don't worry.
That's good to know. Now, folks, for those of you that you're thinking like, wow, have I seen some of this gameplay before or maybe some of the parkour? I went back and checked. It was E3 2018 when we had you at the Xbox conference. So it's been a little while. And I know that game development takes a long time. And this game, especially with a game of this scope, and there's just so much in this game that for folks to and players to enjoy that there's going to be a lot to jump into, right?
It's really huge. For me, it was 6 years. All this time was not only to create new content, it was to make sure that the content that we have works better. And like a lot of this time was making sure that the gameplay is fun, that, you know, the enemies that we already have are fun. And, you know, we constantly iterated on the stuff that we had to just to make sure that players will have, you know, great experience. So it's not just, you know, releasing the game as it is. It's just, you know, trying to make it really good and as good as it can be. So at Techland we have huge amount of good players, and for us it was also super important that all the players around the world will love it as we love it.
Would you say, before I let you go, would you say that playing the original Dying Light is required to understand some of the mechanics or the world, or are they okay to jump into Dying Light 2?
No, not at all. It's okay to jump into Dying Light 2. The story is different. The mechanics are revised. Some of them are similar, so you can still find similarities. But the parkour is reworked. Like pretty much every element is reworked. So don't worry if you haven't played the first game. You can start with the second one, and then you can jump into the first one if you want to see the differences. But don't worry, it's not a big deal.
All right, Dying Light, Stay Human. It's now available on Xbox Series X and X, Xbox One. It's available on PlayStation, Nintendo, and of course, it's available on Windows. David Lubrica, the animation director there at Techland for Dying Light 2. Thanks so much for your time, and again, congratulations on the game launch.
Thanks for having me, and have a great time playing the game. Thanks.